Good morning. So as some of you might know, my name is Jordan Shelton. I am the son of Jeanette Shelton Cayley, and we pretty much have been going here for about 20-ish years. However long old Jen is how long we've been going here. And it's always an honor when Steve allows me to come and preach, whether he just wants me to preach so he can have a break or he's out of town. It's always a blessing and an honor. So I'm very glad to be able to speak to you guys today and finish out his sermon series that he's been doing over the past several weeks. He's been talking about the incarnation, salvation, reincarnation, celebration, and today we're going to be talking about predestination. And I'll admit that this topic is a little challenging to speak on, but it's one that is very important and really wraps up what he's been talking about, and that's us being predestined. God's chosen people being predestined for glory with him in heaven. And today we're going to spend a lot of time in Romans chapter 8. I'll have the passages on the screen as we go along. It's a lot, so I brought a glass of water. I'll probably have to take a couple pauses to refresh myself. But it's going to be starting in Romans chapter 8, verse 18. And then we'll finish out that chapter, and then we'll have one last passage in Romans chapter 11. But with this issue of predestination, it's one where it helps get us focused and in the mindset of being heavenly-minded and thinking about our future, not just this temporary time we have on earth. But Steve cautioned me and reminded me to remember that we still need to be of usefulness while we're here. And because I'm too young to really have listened to Johnny Cash, he still gave me the quote of Johnny Cash's song of No Earthly Good, where you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. And we can't get trapped in that, but we do need to always keep our minds focused on the fact that our time here on earth is only temporary, but we have a future in heaven that is far more important than the things that might distract us or lead us to forget just what God has done and Christ that is in our lives. So if you would turn with me to Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23 is what I'll read first. Paul writes, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. So, only about half of us may have actually experienced childbirth and what that is, but we can still understand what Paul's trying to write, that we are waiting. We are maybe a little uncomfortable, to say the least. I know my wife, Jamie, has shared that many times. We are 8 months pregnant, and, well, she's mostly 8 months pregnant, but still, we're in this season of expectation, and it's getting uncomfortable, and there's some pain, some early contractions because the baby's growing, and it's something that the church here is experiencing, that they are waiting for this time of maybe rest or peace. They're really yearning for something deeper in their souls. They're hoping for this deliverance from their sufferings or afflictions. And it's something that we can really relate to today. And this passage also talks about how the Spirit, we already have the first fruits of the Spirit, and the Spirit is at work in us, those who are in Christ. And it's going to complete its work, but it hasn't quite happened yet. And so there's this waiting of anticipation that we see Paul reminding the church here in this passage. And that's, again, something that we need to be reminded of, that it's not just something that's common to us. This is something we can see all throughout the world right now, of it wanting something more, it having a hunger for something more that's not yet come. And then later, Paul writes in verses 24 through 27, "For in this hope we are saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God." So again, in this passage, Paul is talking about this waiting and the hope that we have. An example, or a couple examples that I kind of thought of that I hope help us to understand and relate, is you hope and look forward to the time when you retire. I'm using my family a lot for these examples because my mom is in her last year of teaching, and this is going to be the year that she ends up retiring. And so once she retires, she's not going to say, "Man, I can't wait till I'm done working and get to finally take a break," because she's already going to be retired. You don't hope for something that you already have. Or again, with us expecting our son in February, Jamie is hoping for, waiting for that time where her back's not hurting as much or things aren't so uncomfortable for sleeping and things like that. So once he's born, she won't say, "Man, I can't wait until I get this baby out of me," because he's already going to be delivered. She might wonder, you know, when is he finally going to be out of the house, do his own thing, but she'll still at least be relieved of having him and carrying him in her womb this whole time. And so Paul is just reminding us, when we have something that we have already received, we no longer hope for it. Like, that doesn't make sense. But while we're waiting for something, we hopefully wait for it patiently. And I think as we're waiting for Christ to finish the work that he did here on earth, we're going to need to wait patiently for him. In his time, he will finish the work that he's done. And that is a promise we get here from Paul in the passage that we're reading. And we can't forget that the Holy Spirit also knows our hearts and our minds. God, who created us, he knows us deeper than anyone else can know us. And we can't forget that when we pray, even if we're not completely sure how to express it, he understands what we're going through, and he understands what our needs are, and he will work it out for our good and for his will. And so the next verses in this passage are Romans 8, it's 28 through 30. And honestly, Romans 8, 28 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. And we see Paul saying, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified." And one of the reasons I really like Romans 8:28 is it's, again, reminding us that for those of us who are in Christ, he is making a promise that he's working everything out for our good and will complete that work. We can't forget God is a good God. It's in his very nature to be good, and that's how we can be confident that he's going to work everything out for our good. Now, it might not be in our timing. It's definitely something we still need faith and trust, because sometimes we're getting a little anxious and we're forgetting that sometimes what's going to be best for us is for us to learn a little bit of patience and to remember that he is in control and that we're not in control. He is God, we are not God. And that's something that I know I struggle with pretty often. Jamie and I are in the process of support raising to go to Brazil, as some of you might know. And it's something where we don't have an unlimited amount of resources, whether that be the financial resources, or we aren't in charge of being able to process our own visas. So we have to give a lot of trust to God and those that he's placed around us and in our lives to help us to get to Brazil. And that's something that is difficult some days, but at the same time, very reassuring, because knowing that God is in control helps to take that pressure off of me, that I don't have to know everything. I don't have to be perfect. Even though I do struggle sometimes with wanting to be able to get everything done the way I think it needs to be done, when I look back, I know that God has always done things that blessed me in the way I needed to be blessed, or that helped teach me the lessons that I needed to be taught. And I hope that that can be the same for you guys, where you're able to look back and see how God worked and moved throughout your lives, and how those are probably things you needed to learn. I mean, sometimes we're hard-headed, don't get me wrong, and we could have had it a little bit easier if we would have listened the first time, but it still reminds us of how faithful God is, even when we are a little stubborn, even when we do disobey, he is still faithful. And so what I want us to remember is that for those of us who are in Christ, we're on a path to become more Christ-like. And we're all going at a different pace than one another. Not everybody learns the same lessons at the same time. And we also just, in general, are built different and wired different, where we're going to learn things a little bit differently, but we know that we're all going towards the same goal, and that's to be like Christ. And God's going to complete that work, and we will have the Spirit partially now, but fully when we are in front of God. And so I'm going to skip around just a little bit, but we're going to read verses 31 and 32, then I'll read verse 35, and then we'll jump to 38 through 39. Steve gave me a lot of passage to go through, and so instead of boring you guys, I'm kind of summarizing it, but I'm going to do my best to be able to encompass all of what Paul's saying in a concise manner. But I will begin reading. What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, or persecution or famine, or nakedness or danger or sword? And then further down in 38, Paul responds to these questions. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This passage reminds us that there truly is nothing that's going to separate us from God. There's nothing here on earth, and there's nothing that the enemy can do to keep us from God's reach. And I think many times we trick ourselves or make ourselves believe that there's something, you know, too bad that we've done, or we've made too many mistakes. God's tired of having to, you know, rescue us over and over again, or there's something that we did that will keep us separated from God. But this passage gives us confidence that there's nothing that's going to keep us from God's love. And I also think on the other side, we can sometimes maybe get a little too big-headed, a little too prideful. Maybe we've gotten all the things we've wanted materialistically. We have the money or the power, the fame, whatever it is, and we think that we're at a point where, you know, I got this, God, I can handle this. I appreciate, you know, what you did, but I'm doing all right. And that also is something that won't ever be true, that won't separate you from God. No matter it being high or low, Christ is always within reach. And we're going to need Christ just as much as we needed him yesterday as we do today, and how much we're going to need him tomorrow. There's never going to be a time where you're too far from God, and there's never going to be a time where you don't need God. We always will need what Christ did on the cross. And Christ demonstrated that love, that very undeniably humble, compassionate, and something that we can never pay back, unconditional love, when he came and died on the cross. I mean, he showed us how to follow God, how to love him with everything. He showed us how to live a life of love for those around us, whether they're strangers or those who don't, you know, believe exactly what we believe. Christ demonstrated that for us during his life here on earth. And I think we need to remember how Christ truly lived so that we can live in a way that's honoring and glorifying to God as well. The last passage I'm going to read is from Romans chapter 11, 25 through 27. And this is where Paul just kind of summarizes again God's plan. Paul writes, "I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles has come in. And in this way, all Israel will be saved. As it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob, and this is my covenant with them, when I take away their sins." Paul's reminding them that this gospel message and what Christ did wasn't just for Jew, it wasn't just for Gentiles, it was for everyone. And God has always had a plan from the very beginning for all of us to be able to have eternity with him. He's reminding them that it's something that's not exclusive. Church isn't just for the best of the best. It's not for us to think it's only something we have and we're some exclusive club. We're reminded that God's desire is for all to know him, for all to have eternity with him, to be glorified. That those who accept God into their lives are predestined for glory with him. And I want us to make sure we walk away today remembering that we're not too far from God ever, and that he desires to complete the work that he started on earth in our hearts and then finish that in heaven. Something that I want to share with you guys is a story of when I went to Haiti, and it wasn't one of the times I went to Haiti with Pam. It was when I went to Haiti with a group from my church that I attended in college. And while we were there, we were scouting out the area. We were doing like a vision trip to see if we were going to partner with this particular community. And we had interpreters along the way there that attended the church, and some were more hired interpreters that weren't really Christians, but they were used to mission groups coming in and interpreting for them, so they were still around church. But there's one interpreter in particular that, as we were saying our goodbyes and leaving, he turned to one of my teammates, Greg, and he said, "You know, it's been a pleasure to get to know you, to spend this time with you. I really hope I can see you again, but if I don't, I'll see you in heaven." And I think that was the very first time it really clicked for me that this is so much bigger than me, that what God is doing truly is something remarkable. You don't see it anywhere else where strangers can become as close as brothers, and we know that we are going to see each other again in heaven. We know that the ending to the story is going to be us with God and be glorified. And it was something that, I mean, as you can tell, it stuck with me and has helped me to remember how I'm supposed to live my life each and every day, not for myself, but for God, and to know that it's meant for Him to be honored and glorified through my life, and for me to be able to share the gospel truth with as many people as I can so that they too can share in this glory in heaven. And I want to leave you with this question of, you know, how will knowing your future change how you're going to live today? Because if you know that you're going to be spending your time in eternity with God because you are in Christ and He's going to finish that work in you, how is that going to change how you're living today? Are you going to make sure that from now on you have a better disciplined prayer life? Are you going to be bolder in your faith at work? Are you going to make sure that the time you spend with your children, you're using that time to really bond with them and teach them how to walk faithfully with God? I don't know what that's going to be for you, what changes you will make, but I do want you to really consider and think about how knowing your eternity in heaven being secure, how you're going to live that out today. I'm going to invite any of you who have not already accepted Christ in your life, you can come forward after the service. I'd love to speak with you, or if you think I'm too young, you can wait for when Steve comes back, but please fill out a Connect card. Like Bob was saying, we have these Connect cards. You can fill that out to hear more about what Christ's plan is for you, and again, what He desires for your life. Let me close us in prayer, and then we'll end in another song of worship. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so, so much for sending Jesus, for showing us how to live a life that honors and glorifies You, that loves our neighbor as ourself, and for showing us how much You love us by having Him die on the cross for our sins, something we did not deserve, but something that You did, and we can't pay You back for that, Lord. But what we can do is live our lives fully for You and to honor and glorify You with our lives. The gifts that You've given us to be used for Your kingdom, Lord. And I pray that each and every one of us today will make that choice, if we already haven't, to live for You. And if we have chosen to live for You, that we continue to remain faithful, whether everything's going the way we plan for it and want it to, or whether things are really hard and that we're struggling. Lord, I pray that You give us strength that we need, the wisdom and discernment, and that we live faithfully for You. And I pray for our brothers and sisters all around the world that might be facing persecution for this faith, that You strengthen them and give them perseverance to continue to walk the Christian walk. And Lord, I pray for our community here and our country, that they will all come to know You, Lord, that they will accept this free gift that You've given, salvation with You. Lord, we love You, we thank You, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.